Start with the first case, United States versus Ivan Thomas, 12-3702. Mr. Stanton.
Morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
Good. I'm Bill Stanton on behalf of Ivan Thomas. I'm arguing on behalf of Attorney Michael Gillespie. Mr. Thomas pled guilty to a drug conspiracy and three substantive drug deals. He was sentenced to 235 months in the Bureau of Prisons as a result of that. He appeals that sentence based on two main issues. The first is that the district court erred in reaching the drug quantity determination in this case. The district court decided that Mr. Thomas was accountable for 20 kilograms of heroin, which we dispute. And the second main issue is that the district court erred in applying a four-point increase for roll. We argue that a three-point increase was more appropriate. As it relates to the drug quantity determination, the district court assigned Mr. Thomas to a level 36, and a level 36 encompasses a drug quantity that is greater than 10 kilograms of heroin. Now, the defense posited that a more appropriate range for Mr. Thomas would have been between 1 and 3 kilograms, which would have been a level 32, but at the very most, between 3 and 10 kilograms, which would have been a level 34. The court reached this determination on three main sources of information, the first being a co-conspirator by the name of Anthony Grant. He was charged in a different case. Co-defendant by the name of Ronaldo Davis and a confidential informant. Now, Mr. Grant, to start out with, was a proven liar. He lied to government agents on multiple occasions, was caught in those lies, and had to re-interview with them on subsequent occasions to clarify his previous misstatements. Our contention was that the co-defendant, Mr. Davis, had a great incentive to shift blame to our client, Mr. Thomas, in this case, to curry favor with the government and the sentencing court.
Well, I understand, Mr. Stan, why there would be reasons to be skeptical or doubtful about his testimony, but isn't that a call the district judge makes in evaluating credibility?
Admittedly, we have an uphill battle here because it is a credibility determination by the district court, which is entitled to deference by this court. The determinations that the district court made in this case, we posit, just weren't reliable enough based on the sources of information.
So can a cooperating defendant never be believed? Is that what you're saying? Should that be the rule?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think what I'm saying is, based on the three individuals that did provide information here, it just wasn't reliable enough. The confidential informant provided information that was relayed to him by Mr. Grant, who, as previously stated, did lie to the government on several occasions. And then Mr. Davis, who corroborated somewhat what Grant said, received a significantly lower sentence than Mr. Thomas in this case.
Mr. Stanton, what do you do with our cases like U.S. against Isom, saying that a sentencing court can choose to believe uncorroborated testimony from an admitted liar, a felon, a paid informant, a self-interested co-defendant, and so on?
Sure. And the sentencing court has that discretion. In this case, when Mr. Grant testified, it was not at Mr. Thomas's sentencing hearing. It was actually at the hearing of a co-defendant, Hewing. And Mr. Thomas had no ability to cross-examine that testimony, had no ability to contest what Mr. Grant was saying. So we feel that Mr. Thomas's interests weren't fully protected or weren't fully defended at the time.
Right. That Grant, I mean, he couldn't be convicted on that kind of testimony, of course, but it is a sentencing hearing.
Right. I understand.
So what's the rule you think we should apply that would say in this case this was clear error to believe these fellows?
Well, I think the rule that's in place, the sufficient indicia of reliability, is appropriate, and we just need to determine whether the three sources of information in this particular case met that threshold. And it's our position that definitely did not.
Were the three inconsistent among each other?
Not wholly. There were parts that were inconsistent.
Again, of course, if there weren't parts that were inconsistent, it'd make you terribly suspicious.
In making what?
Say there weren't parts that were inconsistent, it would make you terribly suspicious.
I guess that's a judgment call.
It is.
It is, and it's a judgment call that trial judges make when evaluating the evidence presented at sentencing. That's the difficulty that I'm having with it, how we can see this as clear error.
I guess based on the totality of the testimony and the evidence that was
one
presented.
Suspicious witness followed by another suspicious witness followed by another
suspicious witness. So three.
And it all adds up to lack of suspicion. But go ahead.
I think it adds up to a lot of suspicion. Now, I understand that the drug dealers don't use invoices or bills of lading, and I understand that the drug trade...
Pity, too.
What's that?
The pity, too.
largely, you're making estimates here. But we're talking about a difference between a 20-kilogram estimate as opposed to a 3-kilogram estimate, and obviously that's a great discrepancy. Now, this is a conspiracy that lasted for a period of roughly a year and a half, and you have an informant, Grant, who's saying that it was 200 grams of heroin per week. You have other people saying that it was 12 jabs of heroin at a time, a jab being a total of 1.2 grams of heroin. So the actual amounts varied depending on who you were asking. And that's why it just seems like this is more nebulous eyeballing and more of a guess out of thin air than something that was arrived at based on sufficient and reliable evidence. As it relates to the leader-organizer argument, I see that I'm entering my time to rebuttal, but I'll just briefly touch on leader-organizer. Essentially, the same information was used to apply that four-level enhancement. It's our position that Mr. Thomas was more of a middle manager here. He was getting supplied from higher-ups and then passing along the narcotics to other individuals. So based upon that, we think he was more deserving of a three-level enhancement.
Was anybody higher-up indicted in this case?
The sources of supply, to the best of my knowledge, were not co-defendants of Mr. Thomas, at least.
I mean, there's always somebody higher up, further up in the supply chain. Right,
right. But Mr. Grant gave some testimony where he went to a barber shop with Mr. Thomas, and Mr. Thomas was dealing with these individuals that were his sources of supply. It's our position that those were the individuals actually setting the prices and calling the shots in this case.
Thank you. Mr. Owens?
Morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Derek Owens, and I represent the United States. The district court in this case properly calculated the defendant's advisory guideline range. The district court did not clearly err when it determined and concluded that the defendant's offense conduct involved more than 10 kilograms of heroin. The court's determination regarding the quantity amount was based on the testimony of Anthony Grant, who was a co-conspirator, the sworn plea declaration of Ronaldo Davis, as well as other evidence in the case, including recorded undercover drug buys, essentially. Even a conservative estimate of the amounts that were testified to and estimated by Grant as well as Davis produces an amount, a total, that is greater than 10 kilograms of heroin. And that conservative estimate is based on the number of months as well as the number of deliveries per week, the number of jabs or the quantity per delivery, and the number of grams that were in each of these jabs or units that were delivered.
Now, if I recall, you contended that, the government contended that a jab would be 2 to 5 grams?
That's correct.
But the judge used a 1.2 gram figure.
Right.
What was the difference? I know what the measurement difference is, but what was your estimate based on?
Our estimate was based on essentially a proffer of what we believed the government agent, the federal agent, would testify to. The defendant at that particular sentencing hearing, defendant Ewing, his attorney proffered that he believed it was more like 1.2 grams per jab, and the court went with that conservative estimate by the defendant.
And that sentencing was also before Judge Duryagian, is that right?
That was, yes, Your Honor. And Anthony Grant also testified before Judge Duryagian. The district court also did not clearly err in finding that the aggravated role enhancement of 4 points in the guidelines was appropriate for the defendant, Thomas, in this case. In this case, the record shows that the defendant had approximately 15 to 20 runners and workers who distributed heroin as well as crack cocaine for him. He dictated the sale price of the drugs. That's evidenced not just in the testimony of Grant or what Davis has said, but also in some of the recorded undercover controlled buys where when Grant was making a delivery of crack cocaine in that case, he actually had a call back to Thomas to verify a lower price and whether that was authorized for that particular sale. The defendant also collected money from the sales. He instructed runners who worked for him to recruit other workers as part of the organization. He also bailed some of the workers out of jail after they were arrested as part of the drug sales. And in one case, Grant testified that he actually took over a telephone that was used by one of the runners, co-defendant Ewing. After Ewing was arrested, the defendant took over the telephone so as not to lose the customers that Ewing had underneath him in the organization. And he actually allowed co-defendant Grant to take one of the crack cocaine customers that Ewing had before he was arrested. And based on all of this, the government requests that this court to affirm the sentence imposed by the district court. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Stanton, how much time remaining? 2 minutes.
This investigation lasted from 2005 to 2010. So over the five-year investigation, we have directly attributable to Mr. Thomas 51 grams of heroin. So you're talking about another 19,949 grams that the district court attributed to him based upon information supplied by other people. Again, it's our position that his involvement was only from the end of 2008 until mid-2010, and that during that period, nowhere near the quantities that were estimated by these unreliable informants was attributable to Mr. Thomas. It was more around the neighborhood of 3 kilograms of heroin. Based on that, we would ask for a 32-level range, and we would ask that his role enhancement be 3 instead of 4.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to both counsel, and especially to Mr. Gillespie for accepting the appointment and